Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, welcome on in, folks. It is Thursday, October the 10th. We are here at the Treasure Chest Casino, landing at the Game Bar and Grill, getting ready for Thursday Night Football coming up 7 p.m. You can hear that on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app, or stop by the Treasure Chest, place a bet at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and watch the game here on all the television sets they have here at the Bar and Grill and all around the casino. Honestly, a huge full floor area with any game you can imagine possible. Of course, the latest and greatest technology with these slot machines. It looks like more like video games to me now, Mike, than the old-time one-armed bandits.
Yeah, and man, it's all spread out well, and all the restaurants that they have here, not only the game, but they also have a little sandwich shop and steakhouse,
yeah,
right alongside of it.
I told wife you're ready. One night I got to come in here, take her on a date night, and check out the steakhouse. That's for, you know,
come
getting
on,
dressed up fancy and a night out with the wife.
Come on, you got to woof some of them cobwebs out that wallet, dude. You got to take the old lady somewhere.
Definitely got to take her out. She deserves it for sure. looking at the weekend, we got a busy one. Obviously, Saints are taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. And then another rivalry game. We got Ole Miss versus LSU coming up.
That's
Saturday.
That's huge, man.
6:30 Saturday night in Death Valley. And you know it's going to be a raucous atmosphere after the bye week for the Bayou Bengals. Definitely looking forward to seeing this matchup. And I guess it doesn't get talked about much, I feel like, the mention of being at the Magnolia Bowl.
Man, that's at one time, like my dad grew up in that world. Man, hated Ole Miss. and they got some people that still like that. But, you know, Alabama has sort of taken over as that being a – and I'll be honest with you. When they used to play every year, Florida,
right?
That was a big rivalry game. And God bless him, he passed away many years ago. But Joe LaBruzza, who lived out in my neck of the woods and was a terrific running back at LSU, says the first time he experienced it in a game, he went to Gainesville – and all of a sudden, he had his helmet on, and he could hear that ping, ping, ping. And, he, you know, the coaches came up to him and said, don't take your helmets off, man. They throw in, like, pennies and dimes. So, you know,
wow.
Joe, just to make a joke, said, yeah, I left out of that with about $1.75 worth of change. you'd have to hear him, but God bless him. He passed away many years ago, but it was funny. But, man, the rivalry there, LSU, Florida, but LSU Ole Miss, and, boy, in the late 50s and into the 60s, that really, really was a huge rivalry. And then late 60s, Archie, twice, kind of cut LSU off.
Yeah.
One time from being an undefeated team, and the other time, you know, they were, I think, a two-loss team. But they caught him the final year. They beat him pretty good the final year. Archie had the broken arm. He had the cast on and played that game. And they actually moved it, because it was almost like a playoff game before the playoffs actually had ever started, and they moved it to a Saturday night. Man, Tommy Casanova, I remember that. He was wild that game. But, yeah, it's a huge game. And
you ever talk to Archie about that game? Did they try to get him not to play in that with that broken
No, game? Archie's deal is I was playing.
There's no way, huh?
He said I was playing. he said no question about it. And a lot of people were trying to get him not to play, thinking about his long-term future,
sure,
in the NFL. He's like, Mike, the broken arm was the least of my worries once I got in the NFL. hey, man, Archie got beat up pretty good playing with the Saints. So, yeah, he talks about that a lot. And, boy, his sophomore year really shocked everybody when they ended up beating LSU.
Looking at our Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line, we got James on the line. You can sound off as well. 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you. What you got for us today, James?
Hey, guys. To help the rookies, I guess, and not just the rookie, but the staff prepare better, you know, Devin White was released again. I don't know what's going on in his head over there, but the Raiders just checked him out. I mean, I haven't heard that they signed him yet or nothing, but he would be an immense asset in helping the staff understand some of these zone blitzes, what to look for. And not only that, but you know, previous games, I don't know why, I don't know what they have against him per se, but when he played us, he was the best linebacker to guard AK. This guy that they got now at linebacker doesn't have the speed, but they like him, of Devin, but they like him much better. And the second thing, and maybe more importantly than anything, is Sean owned Ty Bowles. And, you know, I mean, look no further than, what was it, 2 weeks ago when they came in there and they beat him with the rookie quarterback. Like, we got our rookie, and Sean handpicked his rookie, and I think he had 60 yards passing or something like that. But he traditionally beats Ty Bowles, and I would hope that our staff would look at the tape and see what Sean did to basically neutralize Ty with his own blitzes. I heard, you know, the guy bragging about the safety, Winfield. Yeah, he's a great safety and everything. But they've never had a real pass rush this season, per se, when you look at what they were ranked. But Ty schemes up with these zone blitzes. I don't care if you're a veteran quarterback. He's real good with that. And the thing that what I most appreciate about the way he schemes things is that he doesn't – I mean, he could come up with something like a day or two before the game, you know. But anyways, just picking up Devin right now, I think would be an immense help, because, you know, it's not like they could change a whole lot. What are your thoughts on picking up Devin and actually looking at the tape of Sean, not just this past week, but previous seasons, on how he's able to neutralize Ty Bowles' defense, guarding us, you know, our Saints offense, per se.
In watching that game, man, what Vance Joseph did to kind of play football chess against the Buccaneers. I mean, he outflanked them. And, man, he really confused the Buccaneers on the offensive side, the football. You know, I think sometimes that's sort of overblown, what a player can give you that you don't already know. Todd's been in this league a long time, so you've seen a lot of what he can give you from a defensive standpoint, and he's all about giving you a look that doesn't look to be pressure, and then he comes with pressure. He is, a lot of times in talking to veteran defensive coordinators, when they play a rookie, their deal be sugar rush, let's play coverage. I want to see if he can make the throw. With Todd Bowles, he's been a little different. In essence, I think he wants to affect the throw. He wants to take out the launch pad of a quarterback, and especially a young one. And he comes from different areas. So what you might see initially when you come to the line of scrimmage, he changes up real quickly. And a lot of it, he tries to get right up the middle. Because you know why? If I had Vita Vey beating up, that center guard, man, I know I got a hole there I can run through. And Vita Vey is a key player for them, and he was hurt early in the season, and now he's back. I know one thing. I saw Kirk Cousins. Man, he was getting out of that fast, because he knew that, you know, he didn't want that big 350-pound man pouncing on him. So it is a cat-and-mouse game with Bowles does, but if you watch – in the past, no matter where he's been, it's been about pressure. Not necessarily coming from the outside, but looks to get pressure inside. The quickest run to the quarterback.
Yeah, you mentioned with Vita Vea, it's no surprise that he's back in the mix for them. In the last 2 weeks, the Bucs defense has racked up 10 sacks in 2 games.
What? Every time he's in the game. Okay, one dude ain't going to block him.
Right.
Okay, and he comes with a little hotter motor than Chris Jones, because Chris, when he wants to play, you better get out the way. And we saw it in certain times against the Saints.
Right.
When Chris Jones cranked up that volume button, it was bad news. Vita Vey comes to play. Now, there is some wear down to Vea, okay, because of his size. But I don't think, Steve, what you brought up is a very good point. If when you have to block him and it takes multiple guys, that frees up a lot of one-on-one blocking for the other defensive linemen. And also, he blows up the middle so you can shoot a linebacker or a safety right up that A-gap and you right to the quarterback.
We could sure use that on the Saints D-line, that's for sure.
A dude like him? all 31 like, other teams.
Just seems like nobody's coming free right now on that line unless you're getting some help.
Yeah, and that's one of the things with Vay. He doesn't mind being the guy to blow everything up, but right. You take care of the business. You finish him off.
Clean it up, yeah.
Yeah.
We are here at the Treasure Chest Casino every Thursday, as a matter of fact, folks, and we're getting ready for Thursday night football between the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. I'll be here at the big screens all around the casino. Also, you can hear it on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're going to do a little preview of Ole Miss versus LSU. We're going to be talking to Jordy Collada, host of the Jordy Collada Show, when we get back after the break. So stay tuned right here on
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, welcome back into Sports Talk. Back here talking about the big game this Saturday. Talking about LSU taking on Ole Miss coming to Death Valley. Happy to welcome in Jordy Collada, host of the Jordy Collada Show, now joining us to help break down this matchup. Jordy, how you been doing heading into this game?
Steve, Mike, great to be back. Thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Jordy, man, with all the injuries, and everybody got them one place or another, but you hate to get them in one spot. LSU has them in this game at wide receiver. Here's my thing. If Shelton Sampson can do anything, now's his opportunity. And when they let him do it the first time, man, he got underneath Brian Kelly's skin a little bit, and we read his lips real well. Hey, you want to play this game or what? And he let Sampson know it. With the injury to Kyle Parker and C.J. Daniels and Hilton, this would be the perfect spot for Sampson to showcase his skills.
I said the same thing this morning, Mike. We had a 10-minute segment on Sampson, on Shelton Sampson, and talking about the opportunity that he has in front of him. And, you know, we have been blessed at LSU, whether you're a fan or covering the program, to see it's an incredible line of wide receivers. I mean, they date back to even – you know, the 80s with guys like Wendell Davis and through Todd Kinchin and Eddie Kinnison to, you know, all these guys that have come through here from Dwayne Bowe to Jamar Chase and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas and Odell and everybody in between. This team has options, Mike, and Sampson is a guy who came in very highly regarded, five-star prospect at Catholic High and was really one of those prospects that no matter the game, no matter the opponent, you could kind of throw it up to him and he could change it. You know, that usually translates to the SEC. And like you said, you know, Brian Kelly and the coaching staff has needed to see more. And this is a great chance. That injury report was very highlighted to that wide receiver room. Like we said, they've got options, but Shelton Sampson seems like the likely candidate to really take a step forward this weekend in a big game, Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night.
I think, Jordy, one of the things is, I know in doing the pregame show with Herb Tyler a few weeks back, we could see the way Aaron Anderson was playing with much more confidence than he did a year ago. He's always been a playmaker, watching him at Edna Carr, his quickness, his ability to take that first step and get up the field. And, you know, he'll go over the middle if you ask him to. In my opinion, I think he's made the biggest jump from any returning player from LSU on offense than anyone else on that football team from what we saw a year ago.
I agree. I think he's emerged as the number one guy. I mean, really, this team has been looking for somebody consistently that Nussmeier can look to, kind of bail himself out of trouble and trust and put the ball up. Lacy has shown over the last couple of games that you know, he still has some of those drop issues, and you know that may, you know, hinder Nussmeier in big spots. And I think Anderson has been the most consistent. I think, like you said, he's taken the biggest leap. You know, Brian Kelly really talked about him doing his things, you know, really off the field, kind of going into helping him on the field, and him taking those strides. There was a big expectation for Aaron Anderson in his offseason and going into this year to be somebody who stepped up. And, you know, I mean, he's been there since fall camp. I mean, he's looked fantastic. And, you know, covering him at Carr, you know, one of the things that we always talk about with him is 20 special teams touchdowns at Edna Carr in high school. I mean, in Louisiana 5A football, if you're scoring a rate of those types of touchdowns and explosive plays, that translates to the SEC. And, you know, you're starting to see it. He's a big playmaker. And, you know, obviously that quote that Saban gave him after the game got a lot of run last year. But, you know, you could even see from the other side, Alabama and Saban kind of wishing they still had him, telling him that he would be a big contributor on last year's team for the Tide. So, you know, it's great to see Aaron Anderson. I'm happy for him. And, you know, I think he's really kind of just getting revved up. I think he's got a lot more plays left in the tank.
Look at the running back position. Maybe give us a little update with Caden Durham with the toe injury. But, Jordy, I just look at it this way. This offense has run much better in the running game. And also, I don't know if they've had a receiver catch the ball as clean as Caden Durham since Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, Clyde could do it, man. He was really good catching the ball coming out of the backfield. But I think post-Clyde, they've not had somebody that could catch the ball nearly as well as Durham. And this team offensively runs better with him. So give us a little bit on the health status and your thoughts on the development of Caden Durham.
Well, it's going to be interesting because he was on that injury report. And, you know, if you go back and watch that injury, Mike, I mean, that is a wicked-looking injury for a running back. It's on his second touchdown against Southern Alabama, and Miles Frazier just kind of collapses dead weight onto his leg. And, you know, he's lucky to me that it's just a toe injury. I mean, he came back into that game, which was good to see to kind of relieve the stress of it being a knee. But, you know, it didn't look good. And hopefully he can be ready to play because, like you alluded to, the team just runs more efficiently with him in the game. I mean, you know, some of these things in the run game that were setting them back early in the season, I think came to patience and knowing how to cut back and knowing how to set these blocks up. And Durham has really shown that he's a cutback guy. He's got really good vision. And then once he puts the gas down, once he slams on the accelerator, I mean, he's gone. You know, you forget it. And, you know, to echo what you said, I think he's such a threat in the pass game as well that, you know, he's created so many problems for defensive coordinators. I mean, you know, guys that you think you got to go in there and kind of play a one-track mind against Durham. I mean, you've seen him on some sets where, I mean, they've had him lined up in the slot. They've had him lined up out wide. They've run him out of the backfield. I mean, they trust him in the pass game in his hands, and you know it's kind of been fun to watch because he's an explosive player, Mike. I mean, he's, you know, like we saw it 2 weeks ago, but you know I think the plays he made against South Carolina has been the most impressive thing that I've seen all season with Durham. I mean, he showed toughness, speed, physicality. He showed vision. He showed the full package, and future's bright with Durham. And you know it's a Frank Wilson special, man. I mean, you got to get. He's got a stable of guys back there, or he did to start the season. And you know, one weekend you think you got John Emery, the next weekend you think you got Josh Williams, the next thing you think you got Caleb Jackson, and then here comes Caden Durham. I mean, that's kind of just how Frank Wilson operates.
Looking at that run game, obviously going to be so important in this matchup, I think, against Ole Miss. Can LSU, this Tiger team, do enough on Saturday to keep that Ole Miss offense off the field, you know, winding down the clock more, just, you know, bleeding more time just to keep that offense away just because how deadly the Rebels can be?
Well, I think that's the plan, right? You know what I mean? I think that's kind of when you look at the offset of the season and what they were going into, that's the way they wanted to play, and you know, specifically in games like this. I don't like the matchup, you know, being honest. I think that the matchup is not well suited for LSU. When you look at the way that Kentucky beat, you know, Ole Miss, I'm not sure if LSU can play that style, especially for four quarters. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be anxious to see how they play them, if they can keep them off the field, because, you know, I mean, that as much as Brian Kelly has said it, you know, he does not want to get into a track meet with Ole Miss. I mean, you know, he showed that last season, but I'm not sure if they've made enough improvement on the defense to play the style that really can punch this offense in the mouth. Now, one thing that's going for LSU is that they're beat up. I mean, Ole Miss is beat up. They lost a center. They've lost some offensive linemen. They've lost some guys in some key spots. And whether or not Trey Harris is going to play is going to be a big, you know, big storyline here. So, you know, you catch Ole Miss at the right time, but still on paper, I think this thing still favors Ole Miss as far as the matchup goes.
One of the things I've seen different from Ole Miss in the early games and in the last two has been Jackson Dart getting a little bit greedy, wanting to hit the big play, because he was able to do that against teams they were much better against. Then all of a sudden now, Kentucky, South Carolina, especially in watching the Kentucky game, Jordy, he had throws underneath, the guy's wide open, and he's trying to hit the deep ball downfield. Now, that's a little bit of an extension of Lane. Oh, okay, I'm not going to blame it all on Jackson. But I think that you see a little bit of a difference in his play of him wanting to hit that big chunk play when he's got an open guy 8, 9, 10 yards downfield, and he doesn't even look at him. He sort of overlooks him. I mean, I'm throwing it deep. It caught him against Kentucky. Didn't have as much, say, play against South Carolina. But I think it's something for LSU you're going to have to be cognizant of how you get after him. One thing he can do well, he can take off and run. And we saw it a year ago. And he gives that dimension to this team. But over the last couple of weeks, I've seen that in him a lot more than early on when I think it was easy to hit the big pass because of who they were playing. Kentucky and South Carolina, he was passing up that short stuff. Man, I want to hit the 35-yard play downfield. I mean, you're not always going to get that.
No, I agree, and, you know, I'm with you. I think that a lot is lended to Lane and the way that he coaches Dart up and, you know, what he really wants from that position. But, yeah, you know, I think that's what LSU will need this Saturday night, something like that. I think they're going to need a greedy play from Jackson Dart in a turnover. They're going to need to take away a possession or two from Ole Miss if they can, because, you know, I mean, just like we've talked about with Ole Miss offense and what they can do with the football. So, you know, I think that, you know, Dart playing that style, look, I think he's feeling himself, Mike. I think he read a lot when people were talking about the first month of the season that he was, you know, in the Heisman discussion, and he was, you know, one of these players that everybody was talking about. And, you know, I think as a veteran guy and some of the stuff that, you know, he got in the off season, I mean, his NIL package, if you kind of dig into it, it is wild. I mean, he's got full access to a private jet. I mean, it's an incredible deal. So, you know, I think that comes with a little bit of pressure when things start to tighten up a little bit. And, you know, Dart, I think, is kind of showing that. So, LSU needs that Saturday night. They need, you know, kind of a big turnover, a big spot that, you know, they can take an offensive possession away from Kiffin, Dart, and the Rebels.
Jordy, definitely appreciate the time. Hope you have a good one and enjoy Saturday, obviously.
Thank you, Jordy.
All right, boys. Thank you.
That was host of the Jordy Culotta Show. Jordy Culotta, you can check him out there. Also on YouTube, where the show is streamed.
I guess that was the correct term to say that.
Yeah, it is.
I'm caught up on stuff. You know, I'm trying to get better with terminology nowadays with all these different services, too. It's unbelievable. It's like, wait a minute. It's Thursday Night Football. What do I need tonight to watch this football game?
Steve, you got to get you a better TV provider.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you got the TV provider, but then I need a subscription to so many different services now.
Okay, you learn how to use that Fire Stick. Listen, I learned it, so you can learn it. Come on.
Yeah, I definitely need to get your Fire Stick, I guess.
Yeah.
Taking a break. We're going to come back with more. We'll get into our pick six segment. Boy, it was a rough one all around for us last week. We'll be looking to rebound with our picks coming for this weekend. We'll get to that right after the break here on WWL, taking a break at the Treasure Chest Casino. Be right back. Back here on Sports Talk, we are inside the Treasure Chest Casino at the Game Bar and Grill, getting ready for Thursday Night Football to kick off. Also, plenty of MLB postseason action going on in here as well. Got plenty of TV screens, every kind of sport on right now. I'm seeing football, baseball, tennis, basketball. You want it, they got it here in the Treasure Chest Casino, the Game Bar and Grill. Make sure you stop by.
Man, it's like at my house.
Charlie, time to get into our pick six segment, and I know it was not a pretty week for anybody making selections.
Oh, boy. Not pretty is an understatement. This is a big old, as Mike and I will do, boo, we stunk it up, guys. I mean, this is the first time maybe ever in pick six history, and this is on me. I mean, Mizzou, South Carolina, Tampa Bay, I mean, Buffalo, the Steelers, the Saints. And look, there was some bad luck in there. I mean, the Bucs should have beaten the Falcons. The Falcons should be 0-5, but that's another story for another day. The Bills had their chances against the Texans. Missouri just got blown out of the water. So there were some bad picks in there, too. A goose egg for yours truly, 0-6 for me. I was flying high after that 5-1 week. But then I looked at everyone else's picks. Mike, you went 2-4. Steve, you went 2-4. Bobby went 1-5. I didn't feel that bad. It was just a bad week for all of us. So let's just flush it and move on, guys. We got a great slate of college football week 7 here. I had to pick 3 games. I really wanted to pick 4 and just do 2 NFL games. But we're going 3-3 because it's some great games. I haven't told you all this. Bobby's got the picks, and he sent me his picks already. But you guys are kind of blind. But I think you can kind of imagine what we're going to go out with college football week 7 specifically. There's 3 awesome games, starting off with the Red River Shootout. Number 1 Texas opens as 14.5-point favorites versus number 18 Oklahoma in Dallas, guys. Bobby's got Texas covering the 14.5 points.
I'll take Oklahoma in that 14.
Yeah, I'm
14.5, whatever it is.
I'm with Mike on that one. Too many points for me. That's too steep for my blood to give away.
I thought it would be 10. Man, when I saw 14.5,
scares me.
I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of points. Texas is good now. Really good, but now we'll see how they handle the pressure of being the king. That crown get mighty heavy on your head.
And this one's in Oklahoma, too.
It's in Dallas.
It's in Dallas. Okay. It's the Red River, so it's there every year.
I'm going with Texas here. I'm not impressed by Oklahoma. I saw what Tennessee did to them when they had that really big opportunity a couple weeks ago. I don't know even who's playing quarterback for OU at this point. UT, I just think, you know, they've been so impressive. They're clearly the number one team. And yes, the crown may get heavy, but this just screams to me like a potential blowout. I know the rivalry games are, you know, they always have their close matchups. But give me UT. I'm with Bobby on this one, so we got a split decision here. By the way, I actually didn't announce the standings so far this year. Mike, you and I are tied atop 14 and 16, so this just hasn't been a good year for any of us. Steve, you're at 12 and 18, and Bobby's at 11 and 19. Up next, we have a top three matchup. Number 2, Ohio State opens as 3-point favorites at number 3, Oregon. Bobby's got Ohio State on the road, guys.
I'm going with Oregon.
Whew, this one's tough for me. I'm feeling, I don't know, I'm going to have to go with the quack attack. Give me Oregon as well in this matchup. All around, though, not really confident in either pick, honestly.
Me neither. And this one is easily the hardest of this week for me. I go back and forth on it. Danny Cannell had a great point about Oregon and how they're kind of finding their rhythm at the right time. Ohio State is one of the best teams in the country, undoubtedly so. And if you look at the college football playoff odds, I think they're leading the way by a decent margin. The issue here is that they really haven't been tested yet. They're going on the road. It's a really big matchup. I think it's a field goal type of game, so this might be a push, guys. But I'm going with Oregon here as well. So, Mike, you got Oregon. I got Oregon. Bobby's got Ohio State. Steve, who did you pick?
I got Oregon as well. Quack attack.
All right, there we go. And then we have our final game of college football week 7. Number 9, Ole Miss opens as 3.5-point favorites at number 13, LSU. And Bobby is making a pretty shocking decision here, going with Ole Miss in the 3.5.
It didn't surprise me. Him and I got into a discussion about it when we did TV on Tuesday. You know what? I'm going to go with LSU here.
Yeah, I'm going with LSU at home against Ole Miss. Getting points in this matchup, too. I can't, you know,
It ain't a lot of points, but it's enough.
But I'll take enough with LSU at home.
And it is 3.5, right, Charlie?
It's 3.5, guys. And I kind of agree with what Jordy was saying in our last segment, that LSU's not a good matchup for Ole Miss. Like, or Ole Miss is not a good matchup for LSU, at least. But 3.5, you have a, you know, even that half point to work with if it's a field goal game, which this very well could be, you know, Saturday night in Death Valley. I may be kind of leaning on the wrong side here, but I'm thinking LSU plus 3.5 too, guys. So it's the three of us versus Bobby and both the Oregon and Ohio State and LSU Ole Miss matchup. So that's pretty fun. Moving on to week 6 of the NFL, we got the Buccaneers opening as 3.5 point favorites at the Saints.
That's the one thing with Bob. He's trying to pick with his head with this, because he never picks against LSU. Never.
Well, you'd be stunned that he picked against the Saints here too, guys. He's got the Bucs.
Yeah, well, that would
don't
surprise me.
So,
all right, so we're going into this matchup. You were saying the Saints are what you have, 3.5 point?
Buccaneers, 3.5 point favorites at the Saints.
Man, I'm going to go with the Saints at home getting the 3.5. I'm going to believe in the rookie Rattler making a nice debut of performance. I think the defense will keep the Saints in this matchup. And maybe if they don't win, they'll at least cover the game. Just taking the Saints in the Superdome in this matchup.
I'm going to go with Tampa. I'm going to agree with Bob on
this. I'm with you on this one, Mike. I just don't know. You know, it's funny, two rookie quarterbacks making their first NFL start this weekend, and it's Spencer Rattler and Drake May, and who are they going against? Oh, just Todd Bowles and DeMeco Ryans, two of the better defensive coaches in the NFL. So it's tough, man. The Bucs, 3.5. Like, I wish it was 2.5 or just 3 flat out. That half point really kind of stinks, but give me Tampa Bay here as well, guys. Moving on, we got the Commanders at the Ravens. Baltimore opens a 7-point favorites over Jaden Daniels in Washington at home in Baltimore.
7 points against the a lot of people are already talking about Jaden Daniels possibly being MVP at this point of the season right now. It's been pretty awesome for him, like what the Commanders are doing. But, man, Ravens at home, even at that 6.5, what did you say, or 7, Charlie?
It's 7. It's a full 7 points. By the way, Bobby's got the Ravens.
I'm going to roll with the Raven nevermore on this matchup at home, too. I just think too much Lamar and Derrick Henry against the Commanders, even though I love what Jaden's doing.
Man, I thought somebody would go with the Commanders, but I'm going Ravens.
Yeah.
Man, I love Jaden, yeah. But, man, I don't know if they can stop that attack.
This is not even just the rushing attack, but also the passing attack of the Ravens. The Commanders have their weaknesses, and they haven't necessarily been exposed just yet because Jaden's been playing that well. But give me Baltimore here too, guys. -7 at home. I think they win by at least a touchdown. And it's not like a panic moment for Washington at all. They're still playing great football. It's early in the season. But just the way that the Ravens are playing, especially since that kind of slow start that they had where they lost to not just the Chiefs but also the Raiders. They've been playing excellent football the last few weeks. Give me Baltimore -7 at home. And then wrapping things up, guys, we got the Lions, who are 3-point favorites coming off a bye at the Dallas Cowboys. You know who Bobby took in this one. He's taking the Lions.
And I'll go with him. I'll go with the Lions.
You know, I'm going to buck the trend on this one and go against what I'm thinking, and hopefully that ends up being right. I'm going to take Dallas in this one.
What?
At home, a 3-point underdog. Give me the points with Dallas at home. I think they end up winning this game outright.
You know the Lions do run the ball now.
I do.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, right.
Yeah, and that's been the Achilles heel of the Cowboys so far, guys. Give me the Lions. I mean, coming off a bye as well, like, you get some kind of bones, like some bruises rested up a little bit for this matchup. The Cowboys, kind of similar to the Ravens, have kind of gotten bounced back after a slowish start. But at the same time, I'm feeling the Lions here, especially, you know, the Cowboys are coming off a week where they just probably got beat up by the Steelers. That was a very physical game on Sunday Night Football. Give me the more well-rested team. Give me Detroit here.
The one thing with the Lions, there is a formula on how to beat Dallas.
Right.
On the defensive side, and that is to run the ball. One thing I do with Dan Campbell, he ain't never going to get away from that.
That's
no matter what
right.
He's got at wide receiver, he's always going to want to run the football.
So that's it. That's our 6 games. It's going to be a fun week, guys.
Yeah, I think we only were the same on one game altogether for everybody.
Yeah, Mike and I had a lot of the same picks, but I'm going to be a big Texas fan on Saturday, so we'll see how that goes.
And then I'll hear about it if OU keeps his game close.
That was our Pick 6 segment here on WWL. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino. You want me to stop at the sportsbook, Charlie, and put any money on any of these games for
the
you?
The way we're picking, not in the, no, absolutely not.
Charlie, better keep your money in your pocket.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of Sports Talk right here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Countdown to Thursday Night Football. We'll be right back right here on WWL after the break. Wrapping up this hour of Sports Talk. We'll be coming back next hour. We'll be talking to Eve Van Pelt, publisher of The Rebel Walk, getting some more inside info on those Ole Miss Rebels ahead of that matchup against LSU Saturday night, 6:30, Death Valley. Will be right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. After that, 7 o'clock, Thursday Night Football, 49ers Seahawks. Coming back with more Sports Talk, though, right after the news break here on WWL.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.